Christ, give ear to our prayers. Enlighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Our first reading this evening is Isaiah 61, and we have selected verses throughout that chapter. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has set me up to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the Lord's day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up from former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give to them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of all peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring of the Lord, those that he has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as the garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm this evening, we will read responsively, is Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion,
we were like those who dream.
Then our mouth was filled with laughter,
and our tongue with shouts of joy.
Then they said among the nations,
The Lord has done great things for them.
The Lord has done great things for us.
We are glad.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord.
Like streams in the Negev.
Those who sow in tears
shall reap with shouts of joy.
He who goes out weeping,
bearing the seed for sowing,
shall come home with shouts of joy,
bringing his sheaves with him.
Our epistle reading, our New Testament reading this evening is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. we go. You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you?" We need to give an answer to those who sent us. "What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one who you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of those sandals I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Well, grace and peace be with each of you from God our Father and Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The best Christmas present ever. Do you remember your best Christmas? I remember when I was probably 8 years old, we just finished Christmas Eve and we had opened all our presents. That's when we did that. And all of our family was there and we had gone to church earlier. And I can remember thinking, another 365 days until Christmas again. But it was really the buildup to that Christmas. I remember being in the kitchen with my mother making lefse and flatbread, and we also had lutefisk. Huh? Does that bring any memories? Not bad memories? Oh, and I remember going to church services, the Advent services during the week, and then Sunday, and then all these candles, could hardly wait, lots of anticipation for Christmas Eve. And I can remember putting decorations up, and I remember every year, for some reason, we would always get this particular Better Homes and Garden, the Christmas edition. I don't know, I think my mom bought it, but I remember paging through that and just being awestruck by all the great Christmas decorations that there were. As I got older, I started realizing more and more that Christmas had a lot to do with commercialism. Huh? Lots of commercialism. Lots of storefronts all decorated, kind of to entice you to come in and buy from them. But I also remember watching lots of those great, great old movies, right? A Christmas Carol? Huh? We actually did that as a play in a public school. It was awesome. I was not the Scrooge, though, so I just want to make sure you know that. But I also loved watching It's a Wonderful Life. Remember that? Good old classic. And then I always thought, I probably have that same angel, that Clarence, So if you don't know who Clarence is, the angel, you got to go back and you got to watch it. But as a child, You know, it was really more about the anticipation, the preparation, and all the activities that I was involved in getting ready for Christmas, than was really about the presents. Really wasn't about the presents. You know, anticipation can keep people alive when they face horrible obstacles. When I was deployed over in Iraq, we celebrated Christmas over there. And we were there right when the war broke out, right when we had casualties. And there was a lot of people that were extremely fearful. But you know, when Christmas came around, it provided a lot of hope for all the people. Yes, we hoped that we could be back home, but we had a different kind of hope, and that was a God-sent hope. I think of the anticipation of God's intervention and grace and the hope that he gave to his ancient people, Israel, to remind them of the joy that he had for making them the chosen people and the anticipation that they had about the liberation that was going to happen someday from all of their suffering, and that eventually these exiles in Babylon would eventually come back to Jerusalem. And so they listened to those encouraging words of Isaiah. You know, I love Advent, and the reason I love Advent in particular is because I really love doing Holden Evening Prayer. I think it fits Advent so well, huh? The Advent of the birth, of not only the birth, but of Mary conceiving, you know, the Savior of the world, where that little baby and divine come together. And I can remember, she just exclaims, God has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel. Just think of that anticipation. Or I think of the psalm that was read tonight, Psalm 126. It celebrates the joyful anticipation of the ancient Israel that God is the source and the giver of all good in life. If you really were to dissect that psalm down, God initiates a relationship with his chosen people. He called them, right? And then he forgives them over and over of their transgressions. And then he restores the broken relationships and their broken hearts. And then finally, God redeems not only the Jews, but the Gentiles also. This is a message for the whole world. Who wouldn't want to praise and worship God, right? We got a mighty, awesome God. I think that when they sang that psalm, it was just filled with lots of gusto. And then I think of the prophet Isaiah. He was actively prophesying that God's message to the Jews who had been in Babylon would finally return to Jerusalem someday. And we know that when they left Babylon and they got to Jerusalem, they were really demoralized, right? Because the temple wasn't what they thought it was going to be. It had been destroyed and they needed to rebuild it. So they were demoralized, dispirited. They were humbled and they were in pain. But they knew that they still remained God's chosen people. Prophet's words not only declared a change that would happen, but that he would heal their wounds, that he would bring liberty to the captives, that he would bind up the brokenhearted, and he would provide comfort for all those who mourned, and that he would restore back the wholeness of what it meant to be God's chosen people. In other words, the prophet Isaiah was saying, anticipate a hopeful future. Mary, the soon-to-be mother of Jesus, also actively agreed to accept the call the angel placed before her. And she said, you know, I am a handmaiden of the Lord. Let me be according to his word. She was kind of astonished by this news, and she was scared of this news. But she knew that she would be the one that would bear and care the promised Messiah. And she took this responsibility on without any promise of even economic security or social acceptance or a happy ending. She didn't know. She said, "Yes, Lord." And she brought hope not only to the people of Israel, but to you and I. You see, when Jesus came into the world, God did not want to send him as a king, because kings don't understand what it means to be poor. Thus, the Son of Man was to be a champion to the poor, and as well as the Redeemer of Israel, what meant that his life was not going to be easy. That there would be powerful men out there to kill him, rich people who would hate him and call him a revolutionary, and there would be poor ones who would want to use him up on their own need and greed. Yes, Psalm 126, that anticipation of God's coming. Isaiah's anticipation of God's salvation by prophesying the good news. And then Mary's anticipation of God's entry into the world, agreeing to be the mother of God's Son. But what about us? What about us? We're not poor, and we're not persecuted nomads living far away. We are not returning to our homeland that has been destroyed. Exiles in a foreign land. We are not risking our future by agreeing to become the unwed mother of a revolutionary Messiah. What about us? We do feel poor, displaced and afraid of taking risks at some time, or others in our lives, don't we? Things come up in our lives and we don't always answer the call of God. You see, we do more to get ready for Christmas than just sit around and wait for it to happen, right? I bet if I checked with all of you, I bet you many of you sent out cards, Christmas cards, right? I bet many of you have helped out attending church activities, worship services, buying presents, baking special cookies, inviting friends and family over for some fellowship, and also sharing in your bounty with those charity organizations that are out there. You see, we're active in our anticipation and the expectation that Christ will come again on December 25th. The question that I want to pose to you tonight: are the many activities that we pursue during Advent activities, are they keeping the best Christmas present any of us have ever received? Yes, we're engaged in a lot of stuff, but what else might we do to express our gratitude and our appreciation for the gift of God that he's given to us in Jesus Christ? There are many ways that we can say thank you and give back to God. And the clues are actually found in the biblical texts. And the first comes in that psalm, Psalm 126, when they sang and they worshiped God. I think of going Christmas caroling as a great thing, or maybe showing up to an Advent service and singing Holden Evening Prayer. What a great, great liturgy. Or I think of looking at somebody that maybe has not been in church because they need a ride, and then you providing a ride. Or I think of another way to say thank you is like Isaiah. We can actively witness in our own communities. I see ads for Sharing and Caring Hands down in the Twin Cities. You can go down there and help with that. or ringing bells by the Salvation Army, or maybe even serving at a food bank. I think of a friend of mine a number of years ago by the name of Larry. He actually came to one of the services, and he was actually listening to my message. And he came back to me the next week, and he said, "Hey, Pastor Hedman, I got to tell you what." He goes, "You know, I went shopping. I went to that place called Cubs. And I was going to get a few things, but I don't know, something just touched my heart. And I looked, and I looked. I'm going like, God, where do you want me? What's on my heart, God?" And there she was, this lady with three little kids. He found out that she was low income. He found out that she was not married. And he goes, "That's the one." And you know what he did? He went to the cashier. He said, "When that lady comes through with her cart filled, I'm paying for it. But don't let her know." Huh? Or I think of when we had the guy from Tanzania, right? Let us know of those needs in Tanzania, those orphanages, the evangelists, the schools, lots of needs over there, right? Or I think of when I was deployed overseas, one of my soldier friends by the name of Scott Southworth, he really got attached to these Iraqi kids. And he decided he wanted to adopt this kid. And you see, this kid was confined to a wheelchair. He had a learning disability. And the bottom line is, if we pulled out and left that kid there, he would probably not be alive today. But Scott was persistent, and he adopted him, and he brought him over to the States. It's been fun watching him as he's grown as a young man, giving all these opportunities that he never would have had in Iraq in the United States. Scott is so into it, he actually adopted another Iraqi boy. Huh? Or I think, like Mary, we can take risks in God's name that match the ministry and the risks that Jesus has taken in our name. You know, I hear this all the time, that there's always a separation of church and state. And to be honest with you, when I hear that, I'm always going, ah. You see, theology is a political language. God, Jesus, the church cannot be separated from their social and political status in society. In Jesus, God is at work telling a story and disclosing the divine plan of salvation, which includes a better life on earth as well as in the life to come in heaven. So there is no separation of church and state. I want you to think of the salvation that God gave to his Israelite chosen people. When they cried out, first of all, they were slaves in Egypt, and then they were set free. And then the Spirit of the Lord descended upon various judges for defense against various warring peoples. And then when they returned home as exiles from Babylon back to their homeland, they got encouragement to rebuild. And then in sending Jesus Christ on Christmas, and then the opportunity we have as followers of Jesus Christ to aid in the attempts to rescue the world of sin and suffering, pain and heartache, despair and loss, war and fear, as his disciples. In a book entitled The Fixer by Bernard Malamud, he says this: "Keep in mind that the purpose of freedom is to create it for others." There was a group of us pastors. We were sitting around studying the text. And one of my pastor friends reminded me, he said this: "Christ is not only a gift once given to us, but a gift we continue to receive. And thus, we are continually called to live according to the pattern he gives. We are called to be part of God's promise of peace on earth, goodwill to all, by helping make Christmas truly Christmas for others." Yes, the best Christmas gift we ever received was Jesus. Young and old, rich and poor, white, black, yellow, or brown, what a gift that God has given to us. Now, we've got a few more days until Christmas, right? So what gift shall we give? Amen. Should please rise and let us confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. Amen.
And now let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. God of light and life, by the power of your Holy Spirit and the light of your word, we pray that you enable us to continue our Advent, waiting in faithfulness as we prepare to receive the one who is the light of the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Lord, in these early days of winter, the creation groans with change. Some places in your world will begin to experience snow and bitter cold. The fields will lay fallow. Trees and plants will no longer blossom or bear fruit. In other places where there's more moderate weather, it will allow for growth and continued food production. We ask you to bring each region the moisture, the sunshine, and the time of regeneration that is needed. We pray also that you allow your people to experience that same rest and regeneration so that we would have the strength for each new day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Spirit, the giver of faith, we ask that you empower us to bear witness to your light and your life in the wilderness places in your world, the war-torn countries, dilapidated neighborhoods, those who have not heard your promise of salvation, to the ones living in poverty-stricken lives and in the empty and searching hearts that we encounter daily. Fill with your love and hope those who are struggling with addiction and with despair. Help us to be bearers of your good news to all of those who need to hear a word of love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of strength, we pray that you stir us and make us aware of the needs of our fellow men and in mankind. We pray that you help give us the words of understanding, the comfort, and the hope to those who that feel they have no hope, to those who are grieving in their hearts, to those who are ill, whether in body, mind, or spirit. And now, Lord, we pray especially for those we remember silently and in our hearts or aloud.
Dale.
Lord, keep us mindful that while most of us experience this time of year as a time of joyous expectation, there are many in darkness. Let us pray diligently that God's promise of salvation and the coming Christ will lift their hearts in joy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.